Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck. Or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge. Upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, here's something. Some astounding. Lance, you're a numbers guy. And I've got a death rate for you. The death rate is zero. 5,603 Major League Baseball employees showed that 0.7% tested positive for COVID-19 antibodies. 60 people tested positive. 70% of those who tested positive displayed no symptoms. Zero deaths among those. So, boy, they were astounded by the small number of Major League Baseball employees. Now, it is a white-collar job, so they're accounting for that. It's, you know, just people in a white-collar industry. The Angels, Mets, and Yankees, not surprisingly, I think, displayed the highest rates of infection, New York and L.A.
Right.
But even those were much lower than in their respective counties. So it is... First of all, it's a great number if you're wanting sports to get back, because Major League Baseball go, well, testing and look at how few people. If you do, and this has been said, I think Peter King interviewed Dr. Fauci and said, let's say Pat Mahomes tests positive. What'll happen? Pat Mahomes has to go home for 2 weeks and then he can come back. Okay.
That's it. It just puts more emphasis on your backup quarterback.
Well, right.
Or any backup.
Well, any player.
But they're going to ask players, I think.
Go, well, here's the thing is, you just got to go home for 2 weeks.
Well, here,
now,
yes.
I may be asymptomatic. I tested positive, though. I don't have any, there's nothing wrong. That's okay. Go home. 2 weeks. Come back.
The asymptomatic is the scary one. Because asymptomatic means you can spread it without really knowing that you are. So those are that's really the scary one. The easier one is when you're coughing. And I tell you, I went to Memorial Park and some guy behind me had been running. He goes, oh, he was coughing like crazy. Dude, I hit a speed walk like you've never. I didn't want to make it look too obvious, but that dude is not getting in front of me because he had kind of stopped and he's freaking out. I'm not turning around. I don't want to see it. The coughing starts up. He's probably behind me by about 10 feet, probably a good 10 feet behind me. Maybe, no, it's even more than that. It's a free throw line more, so it's at least 15 to 20 feet. And I'm like, no, you're not getting in front of me and spitting COVID on me. We're not doing that.
Mm-mm.
So, I mean, I could hear is this, and I'm just thinking, y'all need to come get your mans because this is not going to be okay. This is not going to be okay with this crazy coughing and falling out. I mean, no, And there's no way people around him were okay with this at all. And I'm like, man, you just need to hit the gas.
Yeah.
Unlock those hips and hit the gas.
Oh, you unlocked your hips. You had tight hips before that.
I did. And I unlocked the hips like one of those crazy speed walkers that looked so freaky. And I was just hitting it.
How did the golf course look?
I didn't see the golf course. I just walked a circle.
Look inside.
I'm sure it was fine. I don't know. They've got a big, it's like covered up. Everything is, you can't see. I don't know. I'm just walking, trying to mind my own business, trying not to get the Rona. That's all I'm trying to do. I'm just trying not to get it.
Check out the golf course while you're there.
No, I don't care about that. There's other things to look at than the golf course.
I forgot to ask Dell. Dell,
how'd your golf game go this weekend, Dell? Is that what you were going to ask him?
No. Well, I wanted to know who he thought had a sweeter swing, Brantley or Phil Mickelson or Jeff Maggart. Which one?
Brantley, the baseball player?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, I've only really looked at Michael Brantley's swing up, so I'm going to take him as a sweeter swing.
Phil, you know Phil's swing.
No, I couldn't tell you, to be honest with you. Couldn't.
Yeah, lefty. We like to call him lefty.
I'm aware of what his name or nickname is, but I don't know what Phil Mickelson's swing looks like.
That's terrible. Terrible. I was up at Wildcat this week, man. It's good. Great. Not good shape. Great shape.
Great shape.
Great shape. Get up there and see my boys.
Here's another guy who says, I don't mind watching random games at sports bars, but any big game or my teams, I like my own TV, beer, etc. That's from Eric, and it says, go Doosan. He picked Doosan early, which is good for him. Watch LSU in Alabama, and a single LSU fan pissed me off because he wouldn't shut up, and I am an LSU fan.
An LSU fan came and stuck his finger in my booty.
And he said,
stick your finger in his booty and it ends all that.
And I was sober.
Well, here's something too, Concept Mayhem. He said, nothing worse than your team playing an afternoon game and you get to a sports bar and you have to wait for the trash-ass Cowboys or Ohio State fans to close out their tabs, stiff their server, and filter out just so you can get their filthy table. Nah, fam.
That's Iowa. That's Iowa fan, by the way.
Oh, nothing worse than Ohio State, following an Ohio State fan.
Nah, you don't want to do that.
No, or Cowboy fan, yeah.
This guy says, I hate watching playoff games with family members who keep trying to pat my back and say, it's going to be okay. They're going to win, even though we're down 30 points and Harden refuses to pass the ball. It just enrages me more. I really should just watch it in a room by myself. Now, that's a different person, too. The person, and I've been that person before, who I just don't want to watch. If you're not as invested as I am in something, and now that's happened in the past with, you got to, if anybody who's done any gambling will know, that gets you on a different level where you can't, if people don't have the same, like they can't feel your pain and hostility that emanates from a gambling loss, that's on a different level. I know fantasy football fan gets all psycho like that, but y'all have no reason to get that crazy, because I've been fantasy football guy too who gets upset, and that's got to be put in check. Gambling loss guy gets really upset in the middle of a game, really upset,
yeah,
like punching holes in walls upset. That guy can't be in sports bars. It's sometimes it's just not safe for him or others.
No. When I do have a bet, yeah, I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear from you. But you know what? You hear from it, and then you give it back. That's all. Or you stand in front of the TV and go, what? Oh, what? What? What just happened? Oh, the game looks like, it looks like my team.
Yeah, who wants to be around you?
Yeah. You're making it sound terrible.
That sounds awful.
No. It's the best. That's the best. That trash talking, that's the best.
I would have liked seeing you and Jordan. And then I was out on the golf course, and this guy makes a putt. And he won three skins, and he said something. And from that moment on, I knew I had to step on his throat.
Well, did you – I mean, I want to talk about – you want to talk about a competitiveness, though. Brooks Koepka, who has four majors, is one of the best golfers in the world. And Mike's golf game is overrated. Brooks Koepka says he was up one – now, you've got to give Mike strokes, obviously – but he's up one on Mike going into 17, and he goes, and Brooks looks at him and goes, I got you right where I want you. And Mike goes, okay. And Mike proceeds to win 17 and 18 and take the money.
Brooks is soft. And that's what it tells me.
No. That's
why golf can't be
taken
seriously.
That's in Brooks' game. Brooks Koepka ain't soft, trust me. Brooks Koepka is a badass.
Is he? Because what is he? Can I look up Brooks Koepka? Koepka soft, and then what's it called? Thong. Should I Google that?
Hmm? Oh.
Should I Google Brooks Koepka thong? Yes or no?
Go see Brooks Koepka in a thong.
Yeah.
Dude's all bowed up.
He's a badass.
Dude's all bowed up in his thong.
In his thong.
Real badass.
Right. Yeah.
Man, badass. Thong game on point.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Do you wear a thong in a picture? No, Brooks Koepka.
I don't.
Says, I will.
No, I don't. Yeah. You will?
To be honest,
Brooks Koepka very hard says,
to take,
I do.
Very hard to take anyone named Brooks seriously anyway. Brooks.
Brooks wearing a thong doesn't do it for you? No.
It doesn't make me think badass.
How did somebody possibly beat him?
Brooks, yeah. Oh, yeah.
More Brooks than one thong picture, by the way. Name. He's been caught in a thong more than once where he did it on purpose. Like, I want people to see me in a thong. Like, okay. And then what happened? A guy from a different sport who's almost 60 beat me in my sport. Huh. And you know what never happened? A basketball
John's
player.
John's over here salivating over Brooks Koepka, but takes issue with how Russell Westbrook dresses. Okay. Know what I haven't seen? Russell Westbrook out there with the thong photo.
Oh, it's underneath the pants.
Oh,
well,
don't
but
worry.
You know, but you know what?
Don't worry,
you
just
have
you
I seen it?
It?
Have I? Is it out
you
there?
Ain't looking.
Is there,
you ain't looking.
You're right. It. Is there a picture out there?
You
of,
ain't looking.
Is there a picture out there currently of Russell Westbrook in a thong that everyone can see?
No,
thank
not
you.
That I know of. Not
thank
that
you.
I know of.
That's all not I'm asking.
Let me Google it.
That's all I'm asking. Is
Russell
it out
Westbrook
there?
Thong? I'm gonna Google Russell Westbrook thong.
Stop. Oh yeah, but so that makes Russell what Russell Westbrook wears. And Cam wears and DeAndre.
All I know
wears,
is,
okay,
you out here salivating over a dude who doesn't mind being in a thong and having it on
all
the internet.
I know
that's
is,
all I'm saying.
All I
meanwhile,
know is badass.
Sure, yeah,
badass.
That thong is real badass.
Yep.
Play thong song for Brooks Koepka.
If you walk around in that, you must be a badass,
or you have tendencies. I don't know.
Or Russell
well,
Westbrook.
Who's he with in that? His girlfriend in a thong.
Well, yeah, and anyone who ever tells you that Russell Westbrook's been married and has kids, you're like, well, what does that matter?
That doesn't matter. That
exactly, doesn't matter. See? So you can't use he's with the girl defense for
he's
Brooks
with
Koepka.
Girl. That's all I can
and
say.
And Russell Westbrook
matching
married a woman
thongs.
And has children.
Matching thongs.
Holy crap, there's Russell Westbrook thongs out there. Like his own underwear
is
company.
Is he in one?
No, but he makes them.
Well, capitalized.
Oh, so he's never okay.
Is there
so
a modeling
me
shot?
He makes them, but he
is
damn.
There a modeling bro. Shot? Is there a modeling shot of him
oh,
in a thong?
Oh my God, Dell, you're the
I
worst.
Haven't hit images yet.
9:15. Oh, like there's not Russell Westbrook pictures
of him in a thong?
No, yeah. I haven't found any.
You just because you haven't seen it doesn't mean there ain't one.
Yeah, because they're not out there for consumption. Because he has some sense.
No, Brooks Koepka, he's got. Brooks Koepka, he don't care.
You listen to this guy?
He's such a badass. He don't
sure
care.
Sure he is. He plays golf and wears a thong. That's the epitome of badass.
A badass. That's what I would call a badass. 9:15, ESPN, 97.5.
Years of research and innovation. Innovation Map is the new voice of innovation in Houston.
Pretty cool, huh, Morty?
Covering startups, tech, energy, health, social impact, and more. Visit innovationmap.com today.
Do it now. Do it. Do it. Do it now.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
So, Shaq says scrap the season. And I kind of, when Jared Dudley came back and said, you don't understand. Okay. In fact, it's the next season as well. No games, no TV money, billions in lost in revenue.
Wait. Shaq said this season and next season, Knicks?
No, just this season.
Oh, yeah.
He says, but Dudley says it'll affect next season as well. And
yes, because of the BRI. I
mean, no, like I said, no. Here's the deal: is yeah, basketball related. I mean, here in Texas, no oil money. Okay, here in Texas, at the sponsors. You know, just the average fan going now with no disposable income after this year. I mean, all these leagues are going to take a Tillman already he says we're going to lose $50 million next year. And next year isn't even, you know,
yeah,
we'll see when next year starts.
I'm really kind of shocked at how many people don't have any foresight at all to recognize what's going on. Like we're into next year's revenue. Right. I'll be shocked if people in sports don't comprehend that. I saw something over the weekend that made me disgusted. Scott Boras. I think Scott Boras is reprehensible. Scott Boras is like, well, they're cutting the draft down from like 50 rounds to 4 rounds this year. They might as well tell everyone, make a big billboard that just says, after Little League, just go play a different sport. Because there's fewer players in a draft? Like, Scott, come on, dude. It cannot always be about you and you maximizing how much money you can make. We're in the middle of a pandemic, and Scott Boras is acting like because they're looking to limit the amount of people in a draft. And by the way, it's a one-time deal. They're talking about this year making it 4 rounds of the draft. One-time deal. And from 40 rounds to like four. And Scott, or four or five, and Scott Boras is losing his, yeah, 5 rounds. So it's from 40 to five. And Scott Boras is losing his mind like this is the end of baseball, and they should tell all baseball, all young players, you might as well just not even play baseball anymore. Well, you'd still have the ability to sign players as free agents, which I would think would make Scott even happier. But we're in the middle of a pandemic, Scott Boras. This cannot be about you trying to be in a pissing match with Major League Baseball about how many rounds of draft they have. I just thought that was outlandish when I read that over the weekend.
Well, it's a typical overreaction by an agent that, you know, and like Scott Boras needs another client ever again in his life. Goodness gracious.
Well, he just said this is not fair to the young men.
Hogs getting slaughtered. I mean, goodness gracious, Scott Boras, shut up. No one cares. You have so much. You've made so much money that you have to. I mean, listen, you're right. Go. You know what? What did he say when they went to 2 rounds for the NBA draft or 7 rounds for the NFL draft?
I mean,
oh my God, don't play football anymore. Don't play basketball anymore. No,
give me a break.
Now, you know what? It's better for kids to actually, instead of getting drafted, go to a place that needs your position. I mean, go to a place that fits you better than having to go to a place that picks you. And oh, by the way, you're still going to get your money. You're going to get your bag. You sign, if you're a pretty good player, if you'd have been drafted in the 6th round, you're going to get paid.
Yeah. Yeah, so, it's absolutely, it's just ridiculous that this is the one thing that has a chance to really reconfigure. Number one, I think everyone is kind of looking at things differently, reprioritizing. The longer this lasts, the more we look at things a little differently. Like I said earlier in the show, restaurant people think restaurant business is going to change to where a lot more takeout related stuff, even when things are open up more, the capacity won't be the same. More people will want to do takeout. There'll have to be lower price points or more accessible. It may change the type of foods that some restaurants do. In the sports world, I mean, we lost, but we had a couple of good friends in Barry Laminack and Raheel Ramzanali who aren't working here because of cuts we're having to make. Like, and this is going on at radio stations around the country, TV stations. It's going to get into, we're now seeing colleges, universities are having to make cuts to their athletic programs. It's already going on, and there's no revenue being made right now. This is in some industries, but I'm talking about in sports. For Major League Baseball, it's shocking to me that more people don't see what's going to happen. The lack of revenue in this year will affect next year, 100%. In baseball and basketball, for sure. So I'd be shocked if they continue to be so short-sighted about how this works. Now, Major League Baseball, here's something that, to that point, this is a big story to me. Major League Baseball has an actual real plan, and this is the actual real plan that is being discussed today. A truncated season of 80 or so games beginning in early July. Teams are going to face only division rivals and the same geographic division in the other league to keep games regional. Teams would open the season, which I don't know, for the Astros, does that mean, I guess, we're not doing just one group of a certain amount of teams? Because they're not going to do the hub cities anymore. Hub cities are out. They're not doing hub cities. So I guess that means we're keeping everything the same in terms of, right, John? American League and National League?
American League West plays the American League West and National
League
West.
But what sucks is the Astros are constantly traveling, because we got stuck in the West.
Well, yeah. They've got probably worse. than most.
They got worse than any team because this is not a geographical thing for the Astros.
No, right. Because they're the least geographically placed. Texas is in the same position. A little bit better, but they're in the same, almost in the same position.
But so a truncated season of 80 games or more where you face division rival and geographic division. That's it. Teams would open a season in as many home parks as possible. That will cut down on travel and allow players and personnel to easily isolate at home and their families. An expanded postseason format would send seven teams to the playoffs per league. The plan would be similar to an idea floated back during the offseason. And the DH will be used in both leagues in order to spare pitchers from additional fatigue and wear and tear. Major League Baseball is expected to propose a further pay reduction for players to account for the revenue lost by playing without fans in attendance. However, this is the big problem, John, and this is where there's going to have to at some point be a reckoning because Major League players, Tony Clark said, nope, this negotiation's over. He said, the players already agreed to prorated salaries back in March and do not plan to take further pay cuts. They said, Andrew Miller said, the way our sport works is we are not tied to revenue in any way. Cardinal reliever and MLBPA executive board member Andrew Miller told ESPN, if the owners hit a home run and make more money, we don't go back and ask for more on our end. Ultimately, this isn't about money. We need to find a way to safely blah, 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 and yada, yada, yada. I would hope the finances doesn't turn into anything regarding that stuff. So the thing is, if they say we're not tied to baseball-related income, that's not how our thing is set up like basketball is or like football is. So he's saying, we already said we're taking prorated salaries, so we will take what our salaries would be for 80 games or 81 games, which is half of their salary.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess that makes sense. I mean, that's what their model is. That's what they've already agreed upon. The Major League Baseball owners are probably going to have to wear that one if they've already made that decision back in March. The problem is, if Major League owners can't afford that, I'm not sure. I understand what the game plan is, but is this going to be
kind of dumb? Well, here's
pigs
the deal:
get fat hogs get slaughtered. A golden goose situation.
Whoever decided that, you know, prorated salaries for the major for the owner side, whoever negotiated that, fired, because you didn't take into account that there could possibly be no fans in the stands. Dumb. You're too dumb now. You didn't calculate that in your mind and what we're going to be. When you're calculating something like that, you have to go over every number and every possibility. And that they just said, no, oh, well, wait, we never put in about, you know, if there's no fan. Well, no, you already did that deal. And I, you know what, I'm torn on it because I don't want to hear about millionaire players and billionaire owners. But if they negotiated the deal, they negotiated the deal.
It's inside the pandemic.
Yeah, inside the pandemic. Yes. When we go back, we'll do prorated salaries. Okay, we'll do that. Okay, sign right here. Okay, done. Well, no, wait. We forgot. You can't forget.
But what will happen is there will be a lockout next year. I mean, the owners aren't going to just say, okay, we lost. If you have 10 to 15 to 20 owners who end up taking a bath on this, they're going to have a concern about fans in the stands. If that's still happening next spring or summer or whatever.
If it's next summer as well, then they will have to.
There's a reckoning in all sports with salaries anyway.
Yes.
I
could see. No. Listen, if there's no fans in the stands next year, then yes, absolutely. Then I agree with you. But if the fans are back, you know what you do? You know what? We took a beating. We took a loss. 80 games we played. We had to pay half their salaries. We lost money. Oh, well, let's move on.
I'm really interested to see how the pay-per-view buys did for UFC 249 because I think that's a really – we know the draft did well, the $55 million. It broke all these records, but that's not a game. You didn't have to pay for that. The first live sporting event took place this weekend. I watched it. Enjoyed watching it. Justin Gaethje and Tony Ferguson just had a scrap. And it was a good card. Got to see a lot going on that one. If you have any thoughts on it, you can reach out. But I think it's going to be interesting for professional sports teams to see how the viewing numbers did and how the buys did. Because I do think eventually what we could get into is a pure pay-per-view basis for sports. That's always been floated out there, but it's never seemed very feasible because of the TV deals. But if TV deals start to go away, if this thing is extended, the pandemic at all, and TV deals start to dry up because they say this doesn't make sense for us because we can't get our money back through advertisers, then we could end up going to more of a pay-per-view model like the NFL has with the Sunday ticket. And I know basketball has it, and I know baseball has it, but more and more people might have to look in that direction, and maybe they would price it more accordingly. They would maybe lower the prices so that more people could take advantage of that. I still only care about my teams in baseball, though. I don't care about other teams in baseball.
As far as live sports are concerned, another league has been given a go-ahead to start. The UK government has cleared the Premier League to restart June 1st. Now, they have to come up with their own plan, but the government says you can play games with no fans, and you can they can be broadcast, so that's one more sport.
How many games are going to be left in June?
I'd have to look up when they end it. They end it March 13th or so.
They'll be playing two times a week at least.
Possibly. So if you're talking about the ball rolling for live sports come back, that's another league that's saying if you can figure out a plan, the government's saying go right ahead, you can play. So it looks like sports are slowly but surely becoming more possible, at least abroad. We have to see what happens here.
Absolutely. All right, 931 ESPN 97.5. Summer 378-0-3776, or you can tweet us at John Granato, at Lance Erline, at DelV2 on Twitter.
Got into that bourbon this weekend. Actually went and took a bottle to my friend Sean, and he and Grandfish were knocking some back. As a matter of fact, the Blackland Bourbon, the Blackland Distillery Bourbon, is considered one of the finest spirits you're going to find in Texas right now. This is really, I got my first picture from someone who was at a spot other than Specs and Total Wine where they are carrying Blackland Distillery, and it's making its way south in Texas. It's all distilled outside of Fort Worth, but it's Marcus, who is the guy who owns it and is the distiller. He has gone and learned the most intense processes so that he can have the most amazing flavors with all of his spirits. And I'm talking bourbon, rye, vodka, and gin, all four distilled right here in Texas. But like all their spirits, there's a strikingly smooth finish because of their state-of-the-art distillation methods and quadruple water filtration system when proofing and blending. The bourbon is very popular because it's a great entry bourbon for different people looking to try bourbon, but it also has that delicate overall corn profile with fruity front palate sweetness, clean barrel vanillas, and light grain and tobacco flavors. And again, that really soft finish. It's a delicious bourbon if you haven't tried it. And really all their spirits are. The craftsmanship, the packaging, everything is top-notch and first-class. Check them out online. Go get some information. Go look at it right now at blacklanddistillery.com or go into your local local liquor store and demand that they start carrying Blackland Distillery.
Warning, warning. You're listening to ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back. John and Lance, along with Dell at 713-780-3776. Glad you could join us. Recapping some of the stories. Well, we haven't really talked much about the Texans and their interest in Larry Warford. Larry Warford was a Saints cut and a guard out of North Carolina. And he went to the Lions and he went to the Saints. And he it's just got too expensive for the Saints. So they drafted Carlos Ruiz, a center out of Michigan. But Eric McCoy out of A&M will move to guard. It's probably going to be Ruiz, no?
I think so. Yeah, I think so. I'm not sure because they both – I actually think, to me personally, I thought McCoy was maybe better suited physically to guard, but Ruiz is actually bigger than you think. He's like I want to say something close to 314, I think, in that neighborhood. So I don't think it matters. I think both those offensive linemen are pretty good.
Yeah. I don't know. That more important to have a veteran at center. I mean, McCoy already went through some of his growing pains. So do you want to start over at center and, you know, having to make the calls and everything else? It's so important to be able to make the calls. We know that because that's why Nick Martin's being paid as much money as he's being paid. But, you know, Larry Warford would be an upgrade at the guard position, whether or not you could afford him, whether or not it's just a one-year deal. Oh, you're going for it. You know what? I think you've proven something, Lance. Texans are going for it.
Yeah. No, it's been their mantra for quite some time is, hey, this is the year. We're going for it. Hashtag run is one.
No, that's the Rockets hashtag.
No. I mean, earn it. Earn it.
That was the Astros.
What about take it back? Like take the division title back?
Yeah, that was the Astros and the Rockets. I don't know. I'm not sure.
Earn it back.
What was Del?
Take it away. Hashtag take it back away from the Titans.
What was the Roughnecks and Astros?
Do it for the H.
For the H.
Yeah. Maybe that's what it is. Maybe it's hashtag Larry Warford for the H. I don't know. So, I guess they still have a little bit of money to spend, and as long as it's not a long-term contract, I guess you could do a Larry Warford this year. That'd be great. You know what? You're even better on the offensive line. Now, whether or not you can afford him is another story, right?
Yeah, that's going to be the story. Is you're going to have other people who are out there looking for him as well. You know, it is kind of crazy to think that Cam Newton, Blake, not so much Blake Bortles, but, you know, he is a feasible backup, I guess. Cam, Blake Bortles, and Joe Flacco are all right now free agents. Three veteran quarterbacks with starting experience, some more successful than others. Two of them went to a Super Bowl, and then there's Blake Bortles.
Well, you saw the story this weekend about the Patriots, actually. Maybe they are going to. I think there's maybe some smoke here that, you know what, we've been talking, and now we're hearing the Patriots saying, well, you know, maybe Cam could be an option here. As long as the money's right, maybe we could take a Cam. Maybe Cam would be. Jared Stidham, I don't know. We'll see.
When's if he having any good. He's never had a chance.
No, he's never had a chance. Never had a chance. But Cam has, and he's a former MVP.
But he's not in a great place physically. Like, I don't know why you would Band-Aid it up. The Patriots are not, they're not right there title contenders. I don't feel like they're title contenders. Maybe I'm wrong. Hey, Tom Brady stunk last year, and the Patriots were a pretty good football team in general. I mean, from a win standpoint. And Tom Brady was not good last year. Tom Brady had numbers that were some of the lowest in the league quarterback wise. Yeah. So maybe I'm overstating their inability to win, because maybe I'm just buying into this Tom Brady narrative that really wasn't true at all last year. The same narrative that has Tampa as one of the teams to beat. Like, man, Tom Brady was not good last year.
No, you know, I think some of it had to do. No, we saw Brady miss a bunch of passes. We saw him miss more passes.
Yeah, we watched him play, and he was very good.
He was not as good as he was before. He just wasn't. But there's also I'm of the opinion, too, that you got to have some guys that can, you know, that can get open for you. And not every throw has to be a contested into a window, into a 2-inch window. You got to have some guys that are, and he didn't. That might have been the worst receiving core in football last year.
It wasn't great. There was no Gronk. You had Edelman was out for a little bit. It was not, it definitely wasn't great. And you had Antonio Brown for a game, and that was it. No, it wasn't great. But at the same time, Tom Brady, the old Tom Brady, used to take average dudes and turn them into stars, make them money in other places. And then everyone else was like, hey, this guy's not that good. What the hell's going on here? Tom Brady magic. I don't know that Tom Brady was just off, though, last year. That was just Tom Brady.
I'll be interested to see with Evans and Godwin and Gronk and Howard.
I mean, if he doesn't throw for 35 touchdowns in Bruce's system, if he doesn't go for 35 and 4,000, then he's washed up and done. with all those guys. Jameis got 30. He threw 30 interceptions and still got to 30 touchdowns.
Right. Right. Yeah, no, Tom's got to be at 30. Absolutely. And you, okay, under over 34 touchdowns for him.
For Tom Brady, I would say over.
You say over?
Ah, man, it's tough. 30, that's a lot. Like, Jameis had to throw a ton. 30 is a lot of touchdowns. 30 is almost, you're almost at two touchdown passes a game. That's still a lot by NFL standards. But I still think that number's pretty good. I'll say, what number did you say?
34.
No, under. I think he'll be closer to, my number would be like 31 and a half.
Your number's 31 and a half. I'm going to go over. I think he's going to have a big year. Now, this could be, again, this is a real chance. This is the Cleveland Browns of 2020.
And Tom is, getting old, and this could be the beginning of the end for him last year. He had 24 touchdowns last year. 24 touchdowns. He threw for 4,057 yards.
He threw for 4,000? Wow.
And only 27 touchdowns.
Yeah. Well, who did he have to throw to?
The year before, his touchdown total was 29. Actually, since he's been a Patriot, since 2013, he's thrown for 34 or more one time. He's thrown for more than 34 one time since 2011 when he threw 39. Just one time, 34, 25, 33, 36, 28, 32, 29, 24.
But he doesn't, and now he doesn't have
4,500 yards. He's thrown for 4,000 yards or more in 8 of his last 9 seasons. But last year was his lowest yardage total since he played, and I can't really count 2016 because he only played 12 games. He was suspended.
Well, yeah, but again, with Bruce Arians, let's see if it changes. If it doesn't get any better.
Bruce throws a lot, though.
When he had Randy Moss, now that was a while ago. So, but that
was only 13 years ago.
Yeah,
I'm guessing that's not the same. Not the same Tom Brady. You mean the one who is 29?
I'm going over 34 and a half.
Okay, but you went over for every Astro prop.
Of course I did, and they hit every single one of them.
None of them hit.
Didn't you have Deshaun at like 48 touchdown passes one year?
Yeah. And? What?
How'd that work out?
What are you eating?
Just chewing gum. How'd that work out for you?
It worked out perfectly.
No.
Deshaun hit, remember, that was the year he hit 49.
No.
No.
Never hit that.
I was dead on.
Sorry.
I was dead on.
Did you guys see Tua Tagovailoa surprise his mom with a Cadillac Escalade? And she's like, again? Another surprise Escalade?
Yeah.
Oh, really? I just got one of these from Nick.
Well, Nick's not directly handing them out. Nick's guy is doing that.
You don't know that.
Nick's guy is doing it, not Nick himself. Nick ain't giving anyone a car directly. He's got guys for that.
Oh, you don't know.
And also, the little brother's like, look, I came here to be with my family. Now that my brother's been drafted, I'm out. The little brother's already in the portal. So, hey.
Oh, he is?
Yeah. But you know, they weren't. He only went there because of family.
And Alabama's like, I'm sorry, this offer's no good anymore.
Well, he was actually a pretty good recruit, 4-star recruit, so he wasn't terrible.
So why is he leaving?
Because he doesn't.
Aren't the family still in that Orange Beach in Alabama still? Are they still with the surf shop?
They're all going to move to Miami. That's why.
Oh,
where they can actually sell surfboards.
Are they going to sell their surf shop?
I don't think they had a surf shop.
I thought they had one that was wildly successful.
No, who said
despite
that?
No surfing.
No one said that. So now, Talia, I think that's his name. It's like, hey, is there a school near the Dolphins facility that I can go play at? Because I don't really want to be in Tuscaloosa, if my family or my brother's in here. So he's gone.
Scared.
No, is surfing in Tuscaloosa anymore?
What?
No, not now.
No, no.
Now there's not.
The Tagovailoa waves are all in Miami now.
I thought they were surfing in Tuscaloosa. That's what I had heard.
No.
They moved, because the waves were so much better in Tuscaloosa.
Hey, by the way, did either of you guys So something that I, so one of the things that the Jordan documentary is making me do is remember things different. Like I now remember, I've come to remember things differently than they actually happen on a from time to time. Some of the instances, for example, right. Here's one of them.
On the other side,
yeah, on the other right. side, we'll do this because the big lie is that Jordan the big lie that was that has been perpetrated is that Jordan was no good when he was 45 Jordan, and that's been kind of. That narrative has been kind of altered a little bit. We'll talk about it on the other side. It's 9:46.
ESPN 97.5.
You are listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Man, did you see Jackie put his brisket out there for people? Looks dry AF.
Did it?
Yeah. You don't think so?
No, I thought he was, well, he was proud of it.
I know he was proud of it.
He texted it to me.
I know he texted it. I got it too. I'm just like, wow, Jackie looks dry AF. I don't know.
If you don't cut into it and water shoot all over people's face like some kind of horrific fetish video, then they don't like it, Jackie. So don't worry about it. Let the haters hate. Ballers ball and the haters hate. That's what was said many, many years ago. So on the but to the point I was going to get to, which what was that exactly? I'm trying to recall. We said on the other side we would talk about.
Oh, Michael Jordan in 45.
Oh, so I remember writing an article in the Houston Chronicle when I had my blog, the Z Report, that kind of refuted a lot of that, and then more and more people now have jumped on and looked at it and said, "Wait a minute, these numbers, these numbers were ridiculously good." Do I think that Jordan had his legs all the way or whatever? Nah, maybe, maybe not. I don't know, but I do know that, and it does help that the argument because Jordan and the team won. Here's what I think. I think Jordan's squad was a lot better when they won a championship in 95. I think they were a lot better. And one of the things that, because Jordan hit 55 on New York, he was averaging like 36 in the playoffs. Like Jordan had some monster numbers. And the reason they lost to me was because that Orlando team was a beast. They were really, really talented. They fell short to the Rockets because the Rockets matched up differently. And then Nick Anderson, you and I have talked about this a million times. The whole vibe of that series changed when Nick Anderson tricked off those free throws. And Kenny, did Kenny hit the three or was it Dream's tip-in? Because you were there covering that game, weren't you, in Orlando?
Kenny hit the three.
Yeah, Kenny hit the three. And when Kenny hit the three after Nick had tricked off those free throws, the whole vibe of the series changed. And then the Rockets went to a small lineup, which was Rudy was ahead of his time. They basically went to a stretch four concept and a small lineup where Robert Horry was a four. And Robert Horry just had big brass ones that year. Like it completely changed with him too. Everything came together for the Rockets. But one of the things that I think really is standing out to me now is, man, I didn't really realize how talented that second run of Bulls teams was. That team, to act like Mike didn't have talent, that's a narrative that also has kind of gotten out of control. The first three was a full-on Michael Jordan show. The next three, though, dude, Ron Harper, Scottie Pippen, Tony Kukoc, and Dennis Rodman with Jordan, that was a freaking super team, too. Jordan is not, you know, I mean, Ron Harper was a good player then. He wasn't his best Ron Harper like he was in Cleveland. But Pippen, that Harper, Tony Kukoc was an excellent player. And Rodman was a dominant rebounder and defender. That was a loaded five. I think the bench was, you know, wasn't great. But, man, that was a lot of talent for that five, John.
Oh, no. Yeah, I don't know. I guess in history, actually, Mike had to do a lot less in those years.
Yeah.
He averaged in the first three, He averaged 31-1, 34-5, and 35-1. He averaged 37, 31-1, and 32-4 in the second three.
I mean, kind of similar, actually.
Well, 5 points a game in two of the years. So that's not three, 4 points a game. So, that I mean, no, it was absolutely. It was much more talented. When you add Rodman as opposed to Horace Grant, you know, the center position, it never changed. Luke
no,
Wally,
they were
Stacey
just
King, Bill Cartwright, Bill
yeah,
Wennington,
Scott Williams. They were just guys. Scott they Williams, were bodies. I mean, they were bodies.
They were just guys. They were just guys. No question. But Craig Hodges, B.J. Armstrong, John Paxson.
Got shooters.
Yeah, all shooters.
I mean, they had specialists. But what I'm saying is when we talk about, the super team that is the Golden State Warriors, now they have two elite shooters, all-time shooters on their team. But I would say, you know, if you threw Draymond Green on that Bulls team, he would have been the fifth. He would have been the sixth best behind the five I just mentioned. Maybe he's right there with Ron Harper. Because people forget, Ron Harper is a good basketball player. He was a really good basketball player. But I wouldn't have put Draymond ahead of – is that unfair to say Draymond's behind Rodman? Because they're similar. They play similar roles. Draymond better than Rodman?
No.
Okay, he wasn't better than Kukoc. He wasn't better than Scotty. He wasn't better than Mike.
Well, could instead of Horace or Rodman, would Draymond have played that role?
Yeah, Draymond could have played the role for Jordan. The difference is Rodman was a better athlete than Draymond. Yeah. Rodman was an explosive leaper. Rodman was a fast leaper. Rodman was a ridiculously talented rebounder.
But Draymond is a much better offensive player.
Draymond is a physical a-hole. I don't know if he would have been. Rodman intentionally turned it off. So we'll never know because Rodman just stopped even trying. You know, it's funny. He came out of college hitting, 24, 27 a game. He had some scoring that he could do with the Pistons, and then he just stopped. And it's just like, my whole thing's going to be rebounding. Remember when he kicked balls out that should have been layups?
Yeah.
He intentionally wouldn't score. Like, dude, don't be an a-hole. Make the basket, Dennis.
Well, so you get a board. I need a board. Draymond could have been. Draymond could have been on that. Could have been on that team. Well, do you think that any of those Golden State teams would have beat any of these Bulls teams?
Once again, I think it really depends on the style of officiating, the style of rules. I mean, again, we continue to see scores in the low 90s and generally 80s when they flash the score of these playoff games. Dell, does that throw you off at all how low scoring it was?
Yeah, the Bulls beat the Hornets 83-70. That was like 83-70.
It was crazy.
Yeah. As far as it's completely unfair to even have to try to compare the teams because, if you took the built Bulls and just transported them from 1996, let's say their best team in the second go-round, the 96 team, the 72-10 team, and say, hey, you just got off the bus, you're playing this Warriors team,
yeah,
and the Warriors would play a brand of basketball that the Bulls had never seen before. It'd be maybe not never seen, but never seen to this efficiency.
That was almost like Paul Westhead offense back in the day. Remember that, John, with Loyola and Marymount? That's kind of like what the Warriors played. We used to look at that like, oh my God, this is a freak show.
And what do you give this in any credence that the league was diluted in that second tier for the Bulls, that second run? How good was the league?
It had started to fall off a little bit. That is true. Like Barkley had started to fall off, and the league was at its strongest. Right now, it's very strong. The league was at its strongest, I think, from about 86 all the way to about 96, 84 to 96, man. It was super deep. Anyone who was talking about, there were just guys who had second jobs who smoked cigarettes playing when Jordan played. Y'all don't, man, I want to cuss you. You don't know anything about what you're talking about. It was ridiculous, the amount of talent from 84 to about 96, but once Dream Team 2 showed up, that kind of lets you know. It wasn't just when Mike left. It was Mike, Charles, Drexler, Isaiah. All these guys started falling off all at the same time.
Yeah, Magic, Bird.
All of them were gone.
All of them. Now, Malone, by the end of the by the end of the 98, by the end of the 90s, Malone, Stockton, all of them were gone.
Well, Malone got into the 2000. He was looking for a title with the Lakers. So he was he was good until the late
90s. Yeah, Malone lasted a long time.
Yeah, I just
– Yeah,
I just,
but he wasn't that Malone.
From top to bottom, if you're throwing in Durant, that I think the Warriors team's more talented.
I think they may have been, but I don't think it's as bad. Like, and I put on the cape for Jordan, but I'm just trying to be real about it. Jordan had a lot more talent in the second run than people act like he just carried a bunch of scrubs around. That really wasn't the case in the second time around. I mean, Tony Kukoc was a dude, and he just kind of fell into the backdrop. Scottie Pippen. Now, how about Scottie Pippen's? We were reminded about when Pippen tricked out and decided, I'm not going in. Like, that's why Scottie Pippen will always be a trick. Well, Mike did carry that dude to top 50 all-time status.
No question. Hi, 959. Are you? Lance is done. Beat it.
Oh, okay. Great. Thanks for kicking me out.
Well, you can stay if you want. Right here on ESPN 97.
ESPN 97.5.